And so this morning, I'm going to preach something similar to what I preached several years ago, but I have to tell you that a sermon like this takes on a whole different meaning now in my life than it did several years ago. And I'm going to be honest in saying this. I told Joy this morning, I said, Joy, I can't honestly say that I have that I'm in full compliance with this sermon this morning. Not that I disagree with what it says. It's the eternal word of God. It's the problem of living it out and finding myself living with this spirit of gratitude and how it demands us to live, how often it demands us to live, and what it demands us to live in Thanksgiving. You know, gratitude is something that I believe in the Christian world is greatly missing. I think we find ourselves having absorbed a lot of this health and wealth mentality to where we feel like, with the Lord, we're almost entitled. I will say this morning, and it's very important for you to realize this, because this is really where the sermon's going to be driven. We are entitled to nothing from God. In fact, we are entitled to everything separate from God. And so it's important for us to understand that all that we have, all the blessings, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. That's very important for us to remember, because there's a lot of us in here that I imagine, like me, have struggled with anger toward God, have struggled with some bitterness toward God, have struggled at different times with the great question, why? And implied many times behind that, knowing that that answer probably is never going to come, is the implication that if it were me, I would have done it differently. As if I know more about how to run the universe than God does. And so I want to have a callback to gratefulness today and living in a life of thanksgiving. This morning, there's three levels of gratefulness that I'd like us to look at today. The first one is this. There's gratefulness for getting what we want. You remember the day of your marriage? You remember your wedding day? You remember being grateful for what you wanted? Lord, thank you so much for that. This woman. You remember when she came around the turn? I remember my wife came through the doors of the Little Baptist Church, Valley Baptist Church in Oswego, Illinois, where she was from. And I remember she walked through those doors with my father-in-law, and I thought, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Can't imagine how Christ is going to look at his church at the time of the rapture when he sees his bride. Gratefulness for getting what you want. Some of us have been greatly blessed financially. I look around at even some of the young couples in here, and you've been blessed in a tremendous way, even at this early stage of your life. You've been blessed in a tremendous way. Gratefulness for getting what we want. Here's the problem. If that's all that you're ever grateful for, then let me tell you three things that are going to happen in your life. And they're going to happen sooner than later. And they're going to cause great problems, great complications down the line. Number one, what you're going to find if you're grateful only for what you want is you're going to find yourself living with an entitled mentality. Your spirit will have a spirit of entitlement to it. You don't believe that? Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, here you have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And as they're in the Garden of Eden, they have everything, everything at their fingertips. The whole world is their dominion. There's nothing that's withheld from them except, as you remember, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God was doing that for their protection. Do you remember your child when they came from a place of naivety and innocence to the knowledge of the world around them? And it's different times and different places and different circumstances for all of us and our children. But I remember the time with each one of my children, and it was a sad time because you could never retrieve that now. They've lost that. In the society in which we live, with all that they have just in their hip pocket, and for some reason we as parents give them almost unfettered access to that, they are losing their innocence at an earlier and earlier age and stage of life. Gone. They can never erase those images. They can never get those words back. They can. And you know it's coming sooner or later, but it's just very sad to see. That's what God was doing. God was trying to spare man the pain of what sin and darkness was. But man couldn't handle that. Because man was grateful only for what he was getting. Notice Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. The serpent comes to Eve in the garden, and this is what is said. And the serpent said unto the woman, she said, God said that we could not eat of this tree. So God, Satan inserts the question. Ye shall not surely die. Now what is he implying about God in that statement? God said that if ye eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ye shall surely die. Satan comes back and says, if you eat of that tree, ye shall not surely die. What is he saying about God? He's a liar. Now I want you to understand the implications of what this ungrateful attitude is. God's a liar. It continues on, verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, is that a true statement? Yes, it was a true statement. Unfortunately, it was only half the truth. And half the truth was, you're going to know good and evil, and it's going to kill you. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband. Now I want you to understand something. I want you to see this in this verse. Under her husband, what's the next word? With her. Don't be fooled by the narrative of somehow that Adam was off, you know, hunting deer or something. And all of a sudden, he came home later, and Eve confessed to him what she did. No, Adam was standing right there. He was tempted just as she was. He was right there with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In other words, they tried to cover up what they had unleashed by their own works that never works. You know what they were saying? God's holding out on us. We're not getting what we deserve. Do you know what that also leads to in a person's life when they have an entitlement spirit? And you'll never be able to satisfy this. It's also a spirit of comparison. You'll not see that in your notes. But an entitlement spirit always leads to comparison. Well, I'm entitled to what he has. I'm entitled to what they have. I'm entitled to everything that they get. I'm entitled. I deserve it. This is also how it comes out. What am I getting to deserve this? I'm not entitled to this. I'm entitled to something much better. Lord, all I've ever done is serve you. Lord, all I've ever done is I've always tried to do the right thing, and this... Lord, I see those that trampled on me and they're getting rewarded. They can spin lies and they can spin tells and they can keep telling their tells down the line without ever addressing the lies that have been told to the people that it was told about, and yet they continue to prosper and go on. And I get this. You see how entitled spirit works? We're not entitled to anything. As long as you're only grateful for getting what you want, you'll have a spirit of entitlement. You'll not only have a spirit of entitlement, you'll also have a spirit of forgetfulness. A spirit of entitlement will immediately go into a spirit of forgetfulness. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God was very aware of this when it came to the children of Israel. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he told them to build monuments, to make it very clear to build monuments so that they would not forget. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." It's a forgetful spirit. If you're only grateful for what you get, then you're going to bring on a spirit of entitlement. In turn, that's going to be a forgetful spirit. You're going to forget how the Lord blessed you. You're going to forget how he's always taken care of you. You're going to forget that he should be primary, the main focus of our lives. How does that show up? I'll tell you how it begins to show up in a believer's life. God becomes much and much less in our lives. God becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. We're here on Sunday morning, but we golf the rest of the day. Hardly ever will you see us Sunday night. Hardly ever will you see us coming together with the church body for Bible study or prayer time. We just attend church to get what we want out of it. You'll not find us in any place of service. God just becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. When you have a forgetful spirit, you find yourself doing things in your own power. You find yourself accomplishing things that may be significant, but they're only human. They're not supernatural. We forget him. When you're only grateful for getting what you want, you have a spirit of entitlement, you have a spirit of forgetfulness, and you also have a spirit of discontent. Take your Bibles and turn, and I'd encourage you to underline this verse. Proverbs 13 and verse 25. Proverbs 13 and verse 25. Gratefulness for getting just what we want will lead to a spirit of entitlement, which then leads to a spirit of forgetfulness, which then leads to a spirit of discontent. And Proverbs 13 and verse 25 describes this in a beautiful way. It says, "The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked..." And by the way, when you read the New Testament, you'll find that one of the descriptions of wickedness is ungratefulness. "But the wicked, the belly of the wicked shall want." In other words, it shall continuously be wanting. It's always going to be wanting something. It's never going to be satisfied. It's never going to be satisfied with the wife. It's never going to be satisfied with the husband. It's never going to be satisfied with the house. It's never going to be satisfied with the job. It's never going to be satisfied in their own self-evaluation. It's never going to be satisfied in the evaluation of those closest to them. It's never going to be satisfied. It will always be striving for something more. There's got to be something more. You can never rest in the grace of our Jesus Christ. And that's not meaning that we're not to have ambitions and we're not to have dreams, but those dreams are always in line with the will of God. So let me ask you this morning, are you grateful for getting what you want? Good. But if that's all there is, then I can guarantee you're in one of the three stages I just described. Because the second level is a tough level. The second level of thanksgiving is not only gratefulness for getting what we want, but it's also gratefulness for getting what we don't want. I want you to take your Bibles, and we're going to sit here for just a few moments now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, read that verse with me, would you please? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's read that again nice and loudly, shall we? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Scripture teaches very plainly that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not really hard to thank God for getting what we want. It's not hard to thank God for the blessings that He brings in our life. But how wonderful to learn to thank Him for what we'd rather not experience. I get angry. Can I confess to you for just a moment? I get angry. Now, when I say this, I want to be very careful because many times we'll say this in a self-dismissive way as if it's not a big deal. Well, I know I shouldn't, but I just can't help myself. I get angry with God sometimes. But I just can't help it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And so can I. But that's how we come at God. God, why? Then we introduce a questioning spirit. Why this? Why now? Why me? And the whys will never be answered this side of heaven. And I'll be honest with you, Donna Kirkpatrick and I were talking this morning. You say, well, we'll understand it all better by and by. Well, we'll know the reasons when we get to heaven. I want to tell you something. I don't want to know the reasons when I get to heaven. Would it not be better to just enjoy heaven and not worry ever again about the things upon earth? Not ever be concerned about the things upon earth. That heaven will be so wonderful and heaven will be so glorious, we won't even think about what we went through here on earth. God shall wipe away all tears and all the memories that bring those tears. I don't want to understand it. God doesn't have to ever explain Himself to me. He didn't have to explain Himself to Job, and He owes me nothing different. But He does tell me, In everything. I tried to explain this away even in my study. Lord, how can I be thankful? That must be through everything to be thankful. Then the word in through. Can I tell you how we know that? We know that by comparing Scripture with Scripture. You'll not see this on the screen, but I want to read to you this verse. Ephesians chapter 5, just a few pages before in verse 20. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says we will trust him enough to give thanks in everything. Paul battled this so hard. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he begged God, God, whatever the thorn in the flesh was, the Bible doesn't tell us what that is. Many have speculated, but the Bible is unclear what the thorn in the flesh was. Whether it was spiritual, whether it was emotional, whether it was physical, we don't know. Well, whatever it was great enough that God was Paul was begging God to take this away. You ever been in that place? He was begging him. And the Lord said, no. No, no. For my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. My glory will be manifest through your infirmity. So Paul said, I would rather glory in the infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Pastor, I have not been able to do that. I understand that. It was so easy for me to preach this, even as a pastor, knowing the pain and the suffering of what was going on, of people facing sickness, of people facing despair and depression, of anxiety issues, of broken marriages, wayward children, the pain, the heartache. The death of a loved one. When I was young, it was so easy to be able to just walk in and say a few words and pray with them and then walk out. But it's something very different now. You know the beauty of Jesus Christ? When I walk in with people now and they're going through painful things, and you find yourself feeling that pain. You find yourself feeling those emotions. And it's not an easy thing. We all know that have gone through it. So understand this when he says, in everything, give thanks. He says it as a command. He says, you do it. He knew that it was going to be such a struggle for us. He knew that it was going to be so against our nature that he gave it as a command to us. So this is an issue of obedience. It's not an issue of feeling. It's not an issue of emotion. It's an issue of obedience. When I feel, then I obey. That's how I live a lot of my life. That's not how God operates. God says you obey, and then you may or may not feel, but you will have obeyed. In everything, everything, we give thanks, which is the command. Why? Because this is the will of God. Lord, I want to do your will. thanking God and everything is not just good advice. It's His will that we thank Him in the circumstances that we do not like. When we don't thank God in everything, we move outside then the will of God. That's where bitterness comes in. That's where our anger comes in. That's where depression many times will enter the picture. Anxiety will enter the picture. How many of you have ever seen that movie, Apollo 13? You've seen that? About the third mission to the moon that it went wrong. In fact, I saw a meme this past week Joy was showing me, and it says, whatever I do, I never want to travel with Tom Hanks in a movie. Whether it's that or Castaway, or he's always doing something happens when he travels. Well, Apollo 13 was that way, and if you remember, there was a scene in Apollo 13 where they were coming farther and farther away from the Earth, and the Earth is so large, and it is. But one of the astronauts was looking through the small little port window. As he was looking at the Earth, he took his thumb and he held it up. And he put his thumb across the Earth. And his thumb completely eclipsed the Earth. He could see nothing of the Earth because of his thumb. That's how small the Earth had become. Could I encourage you with something? When our problems become so large and they loom so heavy, if you will but look unto Jesus, He will eclipse the worries and the frets of this world. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. Now, watch this. Pastor, I can't do it. I cannot do it. Well, my answer to you is this. Two things. Number one, you are right. You cannot do it. To give thanks in everything is an impossible task for the human spirit. It's an impossibility. And this is why it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Watch now. What's the last phrase? In Christ Jesus concerning you. That is the only way you're going to. In Christ Jesus, you can give thanks in everything. Through Jesus Christ and His power in your life, you can give thanks in everything. Pastor, do you know this to be true? Most of the time. Most of the time. But I have to come back to the same place as you do. I have to come to the same place as Paul does. I have to die daily. So every day is another battle. Every day that you wake up, Lord, today I'm going to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God. And Lord, I'm going to have your power to do it. Lord, I must have you. That's the reason our personal relationship with Christ is so vital, that our walk with Him is so important, that our daily time in the Word and prayer is such a necessity. That's not an option for us as we go through life. Because if you go through life in your own power, you'll become, and I'm talking a believer, you're going to become bitter, you're going to become angry, you're going to become questioning, your spirit's going to become a desert. You're going to dry up from the inside out. And I'm talking as a believer. We're grateful for getting what we want. Second level is we're grateful for not getting what we want. And third and finally, and I really don't have any sub-points, I'm just making this point. When you can finally get to this level, this is the most revolutionary level of thanksgiving that you can live out. Gratefulness for not getting what we deserve. The word there, give thanks, in 1 Thessalonians 5, and everything give thanks. It literally is one word, and it's built from the same word meaning grace. And we're grateful in everything we give thanks. Why? Because we're here by grace. It's by grace. Everything that you have is by His grace. Can I tell you something? When you come to the place of being grateful for what, for not getting what you deserve, then your bitterness goes away. Lord, this wasn't the way I was supposed to be growing up. Lord, this wasn't the kind of home I was supposed to be in. Lord, this wasn't the situation I was supposed to be in. Lord, this wasn't the marriage I was supposed to have. Lord, this wasn't the income I was supposed to have. These weren't the circumstances. This wasn't the health I was supposed to have. And we focus on all those things that we're not getting that we wanted. But we ever stop to be grateful for not getting what we deserve? Lord, I deserved hell. Lord, I deserve nothing but death. I deserve nothing but judgment. And many of us in here are of such an arrogant spirit that we don't even believe that. There's some in here that say, I don't save. You're talking about saved. I don't need to be saved from anything. I'm not drowning. My friend, you are. We're drowning in our sin. And there's a day of judgment for every single person. There's a time appointed. Neither you or I are ever going to escape that. And it's not going to be you and I making the rules on that day of judgment. It's going to be God. And He's already given us the standard by which He's going to judge, and it's going to be His Word. And we're either saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for all of our sin, or we will pay the penalty ourselves. And that's eternity separated from God in a place called hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is not quenched. You can argue with it, you can dismiss it, you can laugh at it, you can roll your eyes, you can blow it off, you can sigh and you can murmur and you can do whatever you want to. But you're not going to change the truth. Well, I choose not to believe that. Okay. That's like saying I'm on the Titanic and I choose not to believe that it's going down. Okay. You can choose to believe that, but you can't choose the consequences of that belief. Those consequences have already been chosen for you. And it's written in His Word. Well, I don't believe that's His Word. My friend, I can tell you one thing. You better be very careful about making up your own truth. Because I choose to believe a word that was given over a period of 1,500 years, 40 different authors from completely different parts of the world that never talked to one another, never knew each other, and yet their stories line up over time, over space, over geography. Prophecies that they could never know that would come true. There's over 300 prophecies just of Christ's birth that had to come true. And every single one of them came true. The mathematical probability of that is in the exponentials. I choose to believe Him. And it's by faith that we can only please God. There were two girls, it was Thanksgiving time, and they were acting incredibly badly and misbehaving, not listening to the parents. It was on Thanksgiving Day, and their father told them, "Girls, go up to your room. You're dismissed from Thanksgiving dinner." Girls went dejected and sad to their rooms, and a few moments later, they heard their mother calling, "Girls, girls, come down to dinner." A little baffled in light of what their father had said, they sheepishly walked down to the dinner table and sat down, but they noticed something. Dad wasn't there, so they naturally asked, "Mom, where is Dad?" "Well, Dad went to his room." "But why, Mom?" "Because Dad loves you very much. He couldn't change his standard, but he didn't want to deny you Thanksgiving dinner. So Dad said he would go, and he would pay the price so you could come and eat the meal. So while you enjoy the meal, remember that your dad has picked up the tab and is paying the penalty." Now, that's a very trite analogy. But brothers and sisters, when you forget to say thanks for everything else, don't forget to say thanks for Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.